Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollerin, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hey, good evening, everybody. My name is Bobby Marcheso, and you're listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight's guest, Bruce Menaka, combines the ancient vocal techniques of overtone singing with the beautiful tones of crystal singing bowls to create dynamic vibratory environments. I love the way that just rolls, to create dynamic vibratory environments. So we'll be talking to him in just a few moments. Very much looking forward to this. Before we get started, join me in welcoming my co-host, just two tonight, as Steve felt it necessary to run away from the United States and go back to Britain where he belongs. My one of my co-hosts is Maureen. Hello, Maureen-y.
Hi, Bobby. You have a great voice. You have a great voice.
How are you?
I'm okay. You have a great voice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
People, you know, actually, people love your voice as well. I see in the chat room constantly, like when you're doing a reading or when you're hosting the show, and just people can tell that you're smiling when you're talking. You know what I mean? Or there's just that lilt in your voice or whatever. They just
lilt.
See the rays of sun.
I like that lilt. That's a nice lilt.
The lilt, yes. So tell me, what's your deal? I mean, tell us, Maureen, about what you do.
I'm an intuitive.
You're a psychotic.
I'm an intuitive psychic empath, and I work with everybody, and I help people in their direction, and every negative can be positive. I always like to really bring that out because it's so true. As well as I work with everybody, well, everybody that we're down one. We're down, Steve, yeah. I work with everybody
Did
here.
Did you want to pause for a moment of silence?
Yeah, I gave a moment of a prayer to Steve. Miss him. And I work with everybody here at PsychicAccess.com. Thank you so much, Bobby.
Thank you so much. And my other co-host this evening, Lady Brenda. Hello.
Hi, Bobby. I guess it's just the two of us women and you, huh?
Darn it.
I know. We're going to make a Bobby sandwich tonight.
Holy smokes.
Aren't you excited?
Let's pause for a moment. I'm typing an email to Steve. Do not bother coming on the show ever again. So, there. Perfect. Well, rid of him then, and it's just the three of us.
Okay, well, I'm Maureen's the light one, I'm the dark one, but that's okay.
That's good. One on each shoulder. So tell me about what you do with us here at Psychic
Access. I'm a straight-up old-school psychic. I'm a predictive
psychic.
Yeah, I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places, and I work with all you fabulous, wonderful people at PsychicAccess.com.
Very nice. Thank you so much. Now, we will be taking phone calls and readings later on in the show, so listen up for that. Sometimes people will come in and say, can I ask a question, or they just automatically type out their question. I've seen in the chat room, don't do that if you can. We'll be sure to give you the telephone number and let you know exactly when you can call in for free readings, okay? Meanwhile, though, I did want to mention, I'm not sure if our guest is ready just now, but sound is amazing. The sound healing that can come from variety of sources. I really like the singing bowls. I love I'm a singer myself, and I know that singing is amazingly healing. It gets me directly into source. Whenever I begin to sing, you forget everything. You don't have time to think. And there's certain tones and notes that just automatically resonate and come through and can really calm your mind down quite a bit. I personally, too, have made my own CDs that have taken, like they used to take monks and show exactly where their brain levels were at the time of meditation. You can take tones that entrains your brain, I guess, as it were, and lower it down to those exact tones to have the exact same brain waves as a monk does in the deepest part of meditation. You just push play, listen to this music, and it's absolutely amazing. Brenda, I don't know if you've ever worked with tonal therapy, but you said the Egyptians used it?
Yes, the ancient Egyptians did it. They used to implement like a tuning fork. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And they use sound for levitation as well. They use sound waves, levitation, and healing because they, in their theory, well, we can talk about it later. I don't want to interfere on your guest, but that was something that they used. Well, you know, the chakras themselves, they all kind of have a tone, and that's what they aligned them through sound. It's pretty fascinating.
It is fascinating. And, mm-hmm. and in fact, I've seen episodes of Mythbusters, and there's supposed to be a note called the brown note. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't. How bizarre. Like brown nose or brown note. No.
So so you know Mythbusters, right? There's myths mm-hmm. out there that they have to try to debunk to see is it possible, plausible, or yes, this could happen, or absolutely not. And one of the myths is there's a note called the brown note that when a certain note is hit, it actually makes you mess in your pants. It's called the brown note, and it's a certain frequency, vibratory frequency, and they had these huge speakers set up and put somebody in the middle and played these different notes. And you know also that when you play two notes together, especially in harmony, or if you have one frequency that's a little off, it creates a new note, right? There's a new mm-hmm. frequency from that, and apparently the combination of, and could just make you... Yeah, but they all had depends on.
Now, that is like a lot of TMI, definitely.
I just found it interesting. It's just the power of sound. I'm just getting across the power of sound.
It's amazing what sound can do, especially if you go to an Iron Maiden concert. You'll really be amazed.
Yes, I've never been to one.
Or a Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd.
Children of the 60s, baby, yeah. No, I... like I say, I'm a huge believer. I've used in my meditation, there is a meditation CD called Holosync, and they use binaural frequencies, and it brings you down lower, lower, lower each time you go through the whole program. I've been in it for probably 8 to 10 years now, and it's amazing. Again, it just completely retrains your brain to where you can meditate. Again, even if you've never meditated before at all, you can meditate like a monk instantly just from one playing of the recording. So it's pretty amazing. Wow. We are waiting on our guest right now. So that's why I'm kind of stalling a little bit.
Oh, you're
time.
Chatting.
Well,
huh?
Bobby, you never told everybody what you do.
Yeah, we want to know what you do.
I talked to Maureen and Brenda and asked them what they do.
Oh, come on. We want to know your psychic skills, your mediumship.
The you sing show tunes?
Give it up.
I sing show tunes.
Give it up. Oh, you know what? We sing some show tunes. I know all of them. I could have danced all night.
Broadway. I am also a psychic medium. Yes, I tune into not only people's vibrations who are here, but those from the other side and bring messages through from loved ones. And I'm incredibly interested in helping people to do that. In other words, like tones bring your brain to a certain level to bring you to a certain meditative state. I like to kind of map out the way as well, so that because there's nothing like getting that feeling of doing this. There's a huge rush when you expand into knowingness or expanding to information that source has to give. And when you expand into that, it's just so cool. And I like to experience that. It's like, you know, I have small kids, and when they learn how to walk or they're discovering things for the first time, it's like you kind of discover it all over again, and it's so much fun.
I agree with you, because aren't you always amazed? I mean, this never ceases to amaze me, because I don't think it's totally comes from me or you or Maureen. We're the channels of this energy, and I'm always amazed by it, always.
always, and there's always something new that comes through.
Exactly.
It seems like. It's like I've done this before in this particular subject, but this came through in a new and different way than it ever has. And that's mm-hmm. always interesting and exciting as well. So, everyone, I want to introduce you to our guest for this evening. Again, you know, like we were talking about, sound can be a direct path to integrate body and mind through the vibratory alignment that occurs when it's very focused or it has powerful intent. It can serve as a doorway to explore realms of creativity, vocal power, inner wisdom, as we've talked about. Through resonance and vibration, the waveforms, the harmonics, are all created by the crystal singing bowls. It helps us to return to a state of natural rhythm and frequency. And then at the core of Bruce's work is a basic simplicity and harmony. It's a culmination. 19 years he spent in a monastery living the life of meditation and contemplation before he was thrust back out to the real world. Please welcome to the show, Bruce Menaka. Bruce, hi.
Thank you, Bobby. A pleasure to be
here. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm out here surrounded by the redwoods. I live in the Santa Cruz Mountains in a 30-foot yurt, and it's beautiful to live out here in nature and beautiful sounds. Just primary.
Yeah, I was going to say they have sounds all their own, don't they? The redwoods.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Very healing, but it's not a cakewalk, you know, living here because it's, you know, nature is so powerful and demands and commands respect.
Absolutely. And how is it that so here's what I have pictured. You're in a blind up a tree with a computer. Is it a little bit more resourceful than that, or?
Oh yes, yeah. Okay. We do use technology here, and I am still somewhat on the grid because we have electrical here. So
very good.
Yeah, so we make use of technology and all of the good things that it provides.
Awesome. Yeah. Now tell me, I don't know if you heard a little bit of our discussion. Just so you know, I'm a huge believer, as are my co-hosts, in the sound and healing. Like I say, there's a meditation that I've used. It's called Holosync, and I've used it for about 10 years now, and they also use this binaural beat and tones of frequency to retrain your brain. It shakes up a little bit of everything, and it kind of retrains to be on that frequency. And I've noticed nothing but amazing differences. So I'm very excited to talk about the sound therapy and what you have come to recognize. First off, I'm also so fascinated in your life as a monk. What made you go into, and again, just briefly, just to kind of understand the background where you come from, what made you go into the monastery in the first place? And then ultimately, what made you choose to come out?
Oh, yes. Thank you for that question. I had a fascination, a passion for understanding, you know, how my life worked, you know, about life in general. And naturally, when I was younger, I ate up all the books. I read everything that I could get my hands upon. And I lived, for 19 years in a monastery and made my transition out of that lifestyle back in 2001. And I entered because of that passion that I had for truth and for the spiritual life. And and throughout most of those years, it gave me a sense of grounding and you know, it started me, it was great for developing a discipline for just turning inwards, you know, through meditation, you know, through the use of certain techniques. But I found that at a certain point, you know, after about, you know, 18 years or so, I realized that my energy, my life energy was starting to stagnate. And I tried harder. I did all the things that I was, you know, supposed to do as a monk, all the things that a good monk was supposed to do. I tried harder, but I realized that, you know, trying harder, you know, wasn't working for me. In fact, my body started to fall apart, and I started to struggle with issues of bronchitis that were, and it was getting worse and worse every year. And when I first entered, I was very disciplined. You know, hours and hours of meditation, you know, hours and hours of just, you know, that type of discipline. And when I look back at it now, it's easy to see that I was trying to force fit myself into a belief system, you know, about, you know, how a monk should be, you know, what the spiritual life, you know, is supposed to be like. You know, that was all, you know, just my own belief system. You know, of course, you know, there was the dogma of the ashram, you know, that I was a part of. And I learned a lot, but it got to the point where, you know, through illness, I started to see that my heart was calling me to a different direction. And I was pushing it away. I kept pushing it away.
Right.
I did not want to listen to what the heart was wanting to, you know, the direction that it was wanting me to go. And then I started to get sick and ill. And then
No, that's right. You know, we have little pauses, but we're also on a bit of a delay. So I apologize if I interrupt a little bit, but go ahead with your thought.
Oh, yeah. What happened was that I realized that if I were to stay, I would have to shut down, you know, more. I would have to shut down completely. And I probably would have died, you know, within a few years. You know, that's my thought about that. And it was, and at that time, it seemed so impossible to leave because, you know, for 19 years, I lived a particular lifestyle and I had no idea what it would be like in, you know, the quote unquote, the real world. And so it was a very scary place to be, you know, knowing that it was impossible for me to stay and continue living, but it was too scary to step forward and step out of the ashram.
No kidding.
And what helped me during that time, I used, you know, a particular technique of dominant, non-dominant journaling. And, you know, that technique is, you know, I ask questions to myself with my right dominant, you know, my right hand, you know, questions
right.
That are important to me, you know, about, you know, during that time about remaining in the ashram. And I was answering with my non-dominant left hand, you know, connected to the right brain. And it was giving me answers that helped me gain the clarity that I needed to make the decision to leave. And so that started the whole process.
That is a great tool. It's one that I've given in my workshops about asking a question with the right hand. And sometimes before you even begin to write on paper, the answer automatically flows through you as you start to write with the left hand. So
yes.
That's interesting that you had said that as well. That's a great technique.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you made a great point. We're such human beings that have to put a timestamp on everything, and we think, okay, I'm doing this and now it's going to be forever. We do it with relationships,
yes.
We do it with jobs, we do it with lifestyles. And like you said, I think that there comes a time you do it until you just don't anymore. For some people,
yes.
They stay in forever and that's where their heart vibrates. But for you, like you said, things just started shifting. And again,
yes.
Totally backing up what you're talking about, it would not have shifted if you didn't start experiencing the contrast that was begging you to expand in a completely different direction. And it's tough because we don't follow that. We do struggle. And then what happens is exactly, sounds like what happened to you. We become sick. You know, it's our body saying,
yes.
Look, you're supposed to be in this other direction. So that's so great. And you have such a great voice and a great soothing calmness about you as well. I love it.
Thank you.
So tell me about the sound therapy then. What, so you began to discover that, and or did you always know that sound held great vibratory healing inside of it, but there had to have been more something than just that for you?
Oh, yes. You know, when I was in the ashram, I was really deeply immersed in chanting.
Right.
And I did not discover the use of overtone singing, you know, while there, but even doing the regular chants, that the normal chants that we did in the ashram, I realized that there were certain sounds, not necessarily even the meanings of words, but certain sounds that would vibrate certain parts of my body. And it was like a natural way of opening up, like, let's say, the heart area. And I started playing with those sounds and as a way of opening up certain parts of the body. And then, for example, for me, and it's it can be different for everyone. For me, the sound of ah, like ah and it opens up. It opens up the heart area, and I played with those sounds, all the different iterations of those sounds, and as a way to just put vibration into the body. And there's ways
to does it for me as well.
Oh yes, yes. There's certain sounds that open up the spiritual eye area. And it was for me. It was all a play with vibration and play with sound. There was no sense. There was not a technique that I followed. It was just all play and just allowing myself to make sounds as a way to vibrate the different parts of the body.
There's as I had mentioned earlier, I'm a professional singer as well, and that's why the O note, but only like you said, within a certain range. And sometimes before I go and do a workshop or a gallery, I'll sing certain songs that just vibrate through the body, or I'll just simply sing vowels. The O and A also holds a great resonancy for me as well. And that just brings me – I discovered that. It's very funny because I discovered it going to a gallery. I used to just be in this meditation and really concentrated and, okay, I have to be one, with the source, right? All the questions. This was early on. So me with my ego thinking, okay, get tuned in. Let me receive, answers from source, right? And then there was this one time I was listening to the radio, and I think it was Sinatra and Fly Me to the Moon came on. And I just started singing it. And I hadn't even meditated. By the time I'd got there, the song was over. I went in, and the gallery was probably one of the best I'd had in a while. And so I discovered singing vibrations, the sounds, things like that got me just as much into source as if I had, really concentrated and tried to, like you said, very disciplined to put myself into that meditative state. It's not always necessary. Sounds, by simple listening, brings you into a state. Yes. It can't get any easier than that.
Oh, that's right. It's such a great doorway, to the inside. It's a doorway that helps us to access, dimensions that, otherwise we may not, that we may miss. Now, I found that, for myself, that, the idea of playing with sound was a really good approach for me because, my natural personality is somewhat reserved. And to actually, use my voice was somewhat, a difficulty for me. And so I found that singing in the car was one of the greatest, techniques or tools or play that helped me get over that initial, not wanting to vocalize. So, I would be in my car, and because it's a natural container, I could sing my heart out, and I could try all kinds of different, sounds. And I would even play with, cars that would pull up, at a stoplight. I could hear the vibration, and I would sing to that vibration. And it was, for me, that was a great way to just get outside of my head.
That's perfect. I love that. And then that has to be healing too, doesn't it? It gets you to, like you said, come out a little bit more, gets you to express, which that's a whole new level of healing and a whole new level of power, I believe, and empowerment to not just keep it inside and be here and vibrate with it, but to express that. Sometimes it just comes pouring through you.
Oh, yes, yes. And it's really important. I found that for myself. It was really important to feel safe to be able to release that internal editor that was there that wanted to sound beautiful, that wanted to sing in a certain way, that it had to sound nice in order for it to be real singing. So in order for me to get out of that, I had to feel that I was in a safe place where I could just let loose and be a fool. To just play, right. To be a to actually like be a child, actually,
yes.
Be a child and just play with sound.
That's awesome. That is so great. I had an opportunity when I was back home. I had a morning television program, and we had some Buddhist monks that had come in, and had, they would make mandalas on the floor of the local museum there, and I would always go and make sure that I was the one to interview and do the story on them. And I had four monks gather, and I was in the middle, and I had them gather around me and do the chant. Oh, man. I vibrated for like an hour afterwards. It was just, I mean, one monk is crazy good, you know, but the four, I'm like, holy smokes. So that was just amazing.
Wow.
So tell me then, you put all of this, as far as you started understanding the sounds that, like you said, that nature makes. And I'm in total agreement with that, because if I listen with my ear from source, in other words, not my human ear, but my ear from source, I can also hear vibrations. I can hear what you vibrate at, that there's a higher tone sometimes, you know, what I call your home vibration, but like the redwoods and the nature itself have vibration. I can hear those tones and if it's upper or lower or what have you. And when you finally put all of these together, have you put them in such a place that, okay, so this tone is for meditation, this tone is for headaches, this tone is for whatever. Have you laid them out like that completely?
Oh, no. It's for me, my approach is very, very simple. And that's just my approach. That's the way, I guess that's the way I am.
It's a great approach. Simple.
It is so simple. It's like there's no technique. There's no technique. In fact, for me, technique gets in the way. In a lot of ways.
Yes,
and so for me, you know, playing, you know, with the vibration, and my understanding, you know, in working with the vibration is that vibration and resonance has a consciousness, and this consciousness knows what to do in the body and knows how to vibrate in certain areas. And in that vibration, it's just a matter of allowing ourselves to feel, you know, to listen, to feel, and then just getting out of our own way. You know, that's basically it. It's giving ourselves permission to feel, and then to allow that energy to move in the body. And it becomes literally a meditation of, you know, following our bliss, because that vibration is like nectar that when it flows to the body, it's blissful, it's ecstatic.
Now, there's two answers to this question I'm going to ask you. There is, you know, our human minds always ask questions, don't they? And and then of course there's the source answer, which there really is only one answer to every single question, right? But you know how we are, right? Some people, they're not happy with that. We have to feed the mind once in a while. So do you believe, and I think that both statements are true, but do you believe that the intent that you have, so let's say, I don't know what exactly, and that's part of why you're on the show, how it is that maybe you work with a client, but let's say a client comes in and has a headache, whatever. And so you just sing. So then is it, if you were to sing in front of them or play certain notes for them or the certain vibrations that you have found, do you think it's also intent that we put behind that vibration that also helps to heal? Or is the sound simply healing all on its own? And again, I know there's a couple of different answers to that.
Oh, yes. I think there's, you know, there's a couple of different or even more different answers to that.
But I set you up. Sorry.
My approach is that when I'm with a client or if I'm in a group, my intention is that I'm not, you know, my intention is not to heal. It's to tune in with what I refer to as sacred space. And sacred space to me is that connection that we have with our hearts, and that connection is healing. It's creative. But my intention going in is not so much that I'm going to, you know, help heal individuals of whatever. My intention is facilitating and connecting with sacred space, you know, that vibration. You know, healing may happen, and it oftentimes does. But in sacred space, by my facilitation of sacred sacred space, I invite others to partake of that space, you know, making their own connection with their own hearts, with their own creativity, with their own healing, you know, power. So that's pretty much my, you know, my approach.
Brilliant. And that was the sourceful answer that I was talking about. That
yes.
It's like any type of healing that we do. I'm also a Reiki master and facilitating healing in that way. You're not even facilitating healing. I think that you're facilitating wellness. I think that you bring a person to a place of soothing into their own vibration, which is soothing enough. Like you said, you play these notes and it puts you in such a soothing, calm, restful, your natural state. That is the state in which healing takes place. Not us doing the healing, but from them, from living from that own vibration. That is what brings wellness. That's what brings the healing, if there's any to be had. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That particular point. So,
yes.
Totally with you and very, very, very fascinating. So I want to talk more. We're going to take a commercial break here in just another couple of minutes, but I do want to talk about how do you work with this sound and other people?
Yes, okay. Oh, you want me to answer that right now?
Yeah, if you would like. We have a couple of minutes, and believe me, I will just cut you right off if we have to go to commercial break. But let's start with that anyway.
Thank you. Well, what I do is, you know, again, I the main focus is on creating a safe place where people can come and feel that I can be open here. And in that openness, you know, when their hearts open up, then, you know, they can receive what sacred space has to offer. And that might be, you know, healing. It might be an answer to, you know, their life purpose. You know, because in sacred space, and because it is conscious, it already knows how to move in the body. It knows what it wants. It knows how it wants to manifest or create, you know, through our bodies and in the environment that we find ourselves in. So I use, you know, the singing bowls, crystal singing bowls. I use the metal bowls. I use the didgeridoo. I use drums, bells. And I just sort of allow myself to create and facilitate and allow the vibration to build up in the room, you know, while providing that safe, you know, space, that sacred space.
Right.
And then people can feel, you know, people feel something. And then they're invited to make their own connection, you know, with that vibration.
Perfect. Great, great. And now we're going to take our commercial. See, you did just right, Bruce. I didn't have to come in and step all over you. So give us just a second, Bruce. We're going to be back. We're talking with Bruce Menaka here on PsychicAccess.com. We're talking about the healing power of sound. Absolutely fascinating. This is, again, something that everybody can benefit by through the simplicity of just simply listening, the spontaneous listening that automatically takes place. You can bring yourselves into such states of consciousness. And we'll talk more about with Bruce and about some of his CDs and things like that. And if you have any questions in the chat room, Bruce, ask them, and I'll be sure to try to work those in, and we'll have Bruce answer some of your questions as well. So stay with us. We're just going to be gone for just a quick minute here for a commercial, and then we'll be right back here on PsychicAccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
And And welcome back, everybody. Again, you're listening to Psychic Talk Radio, Psychic Access Talk Radio, .com. My name is Bobby Marcheso, and our guest is Bruce Menaka, talking about the healing power of sound. And I just talked with Bruce a little bit, and before the end of the interview, we're going to do a little sound therapy. Bruce will kind of give us a demonstration. It's not going to obviously come through like it would if you were there in person, but I believe in this so much that I believe the sound will carry through speakers, headphones, and the microphones it is that we have enough to where you can get an idea. Also, you can go to his website at www.menakastudios.com, and there are also examples and videos on our site at psychicaccesstalkradio.com of Bruce in action. Instead of just listening to that, also makes a huge difference. So stay tuned for all of that. So Bruce, talk about the CDs. You have recorded some of these sounds. Have you done anything in particular? In other words, were there particular sounds on the CD, or is it all just you kind of being an artist and doing what you do?
Well, I've done collaborations with other sound healers and musicians, and the one that I'm holding in my hand right now, it's called Sonic Ascension, and it was a collaboration with Rick Skalski, who's another sound healer, and a lot of the recordings were done in a place in 29 Palms out in the desert, in the high desert, and a lot of it is using Tibetan metal bowls, and of course vocalizations, and a lot of it is for purposes of entrainment, which means allowing the body, through the repetition of the chanting and of the metal bowls, it offers a way for the body and the bodily energies to enter deeper and deeper, states of entrainment, of trance.
And maintain those, right? In other words...
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you play it... you can get benefit just by on the first play, but if you continue to do it for, more than 10 days or so, your brain starts automatically going there. It becomes quicker that you get into meditation, and I think that even during your day when you're not listening to it, I think your brain goes there faster.
That's right. That's correct, because resonance is what happens with resonance is that the body starts to naturally vibrate with whatever is vibrating around it, and so that's why it's that's why I'm out here in nature. It's very harmonious sounds, and the body starts to receive these vibration, these sounds, and it's sort of like nutrition, for the body. And the body loves these higher frequencies, and it loves the whole range of certain frequencies, and the bodily cells, start to harmonize, and it starts to receive higher energies, from these sounds.
And on your CD now, people can listen to it and experience many benefits. Yes.
Oh yes, yes, yes. And a lot of it is not. Well, for one thing, I would not recommend listening to it while driving or doing anything that requires focus, because. These sounds help the body and the mind to go into these really, really deep states. It's sort of like helping the consciousness, to go into a journey.
Well, I'm kind of being drawn also to talk about your CD in a sense of, I'm a huge believer in meditate every day, and have used binaural beats, and sometimes I don't use the same meditation every day. But again, that's basically the majority of my meditations have used that. But your particular CD reminds me of more sound therapy for somebody who is, a major illness, cancer, or something like that, to just listen to this once a day, more if they can handle it. Probably if you're just starting out, I've never listened to something like this before, start out with just 15 minutes and then work your way up from that, because it can take a little bit to get used to. Isn't that right, Bruce?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's correct. You know, the body, it's almost like the body is, you know, is able to take a certain frequency or a certain voltage of energy, and nature and certain sounds, you know, is entering the body at a higher voltage, you know, and the body can only process, you know, a certain amount depending on the individual. And so if there's too much energy coming through, it can get a little bit uncomfortable. So the idea is, you know, is to build up, you know, the body and the mind to receive those higher voltages of energy.
Right. But it's, and did you, again, why, I don't know if there's a particular reason, and obviously many benefits from your CD, but is there a particular reason why, again, I just kind of feel that it's more for, or would just extremely helpful for those who have a type of dis-ease or something. It just feels like it could be extremely benefit for putting people into that state of mind for that. Did you even have that intention at all with the CD?
No, you know, again, my approach is so simple that it really is. You know, the power of connecting with sacred space, you know, I you know, there's such a practical, you know, aspect to that. It's just connecting with what is so organic and natural. It's, you know, it's within everyone. It surrounds us. It's just, you know, it's just making that connection. And I think, you know, the CD, you know, helps that process along. You know, making that connection with what is inherently, you know, within us and in us all around us. And the practical aspect is that, you know, healing can occur, but another aspect that I find, you know, most interesting is making the connection with bliss consciousness, with, you know, that ecstatic energy, you know, as it moves through the body, you know, that energy, again, that energy is conscious and it knows how to move blockages. It's wanting to move blockages from the body. And our resistance, our bodily resistance, can sometimes feel a little bit painful or uncomfortable. So the more we work with these vibrations, the easier it becomes to be able to work with these vibrations. And once we clear out, you know, a certain degree of blockage from our bodies, then that energy starts to move, and we're just watch, you know, I just watch, and it's it flows like nectar through the body, and it's blissful, it's ecstatic, and it wants to dance, it wants to move, and it's a matter of allowing it to do that.
Right, that's the tricky part, isn't it? Sometimes allowing what's happening to your body because you don't know, per se, and it can be a little bit to get used to. We have a chat room that takes place during the show, and I've asked for people to ask questions and such like that, and there is somebody which has the perfect name in here, which is called Zen Stillness, and they say that they're one of those persons who is happy that your energy, they're talking to you, Bruce, that your energy shifted in a new direction. They said they're inspired by your work on the healing vibrations and the divine space that is created with the energy work. And they said, also, thank you for all that you do. So that was very nice. Also,
well, thank you for that. Thank you.
One of our co-hosts was wondering, Brenda, do you just want to ask your question?
Oh,
or not?
Yes, I would.
Yeah,
I would.
Sorry.
I was listening to. I was fascinating. You know, because I like to think of it in a linear sense. Do you equate, you know, these sounds as balancing bodies on certain levels, in a healing process? Like, say that a body is, because you know, when a body is in a dis-ease or an illness, they're not balanced, they're not aligned, some internally. Do you feel that that certain sounds will like clear this up or align these energies?
Oh yes, you know, I do believe that these sounds, and especially, you know, the crystal singing bowls, you know, those frequencies, you know, the overtones of those particular, you know, singing bowls, you know, they're made to help the body fall into resonance with the singing bowl, and then through that resonance, a balance can be, you know, achieved. You know, it helps, you know, energy to move in the body in a more harmonious way.
Do you attribute this as just cellular, or do you attribute this as like maybe through the chakra centers of the body, or what do you feel?
I think, you know, when I work with individuals or groups, I it's more of an intuitive feel. So like I have this rose quartz bowl that, you know, mm-hmm. supposedly works with the heart area.
Oh, nice! How fascinating.
Yeah, I oftentimes use it for other purposes, and a lot of it has to do with, again, the simple approach of resonance. You know, resonance with sacred space. Everything for me revolves around the idea of connecting with sacred space, and so, you know, all the traditions around, you know, which sound, you know, the different sounds that correspond to the different chakras. My approach is very
different.
From that.
It's more organic. You feel
it's very it's very organic. It's very organic, and it's and again, it's, you know, tuning in with, you know, that deep, you know, subtle vibration. You know, it's that deep listening. You know, listening and feeling. You know, deeply feeling, and then in that subtlety, there's that vibration. It's almost like a spider web of vibration in the spine that starts to, you know, move, and it can be so subtle that it's easy to miss. But in that subtlety, and here's the paradox: in that fine subtlety, there's incredible power. There's so much power in that subtlety, and once we make that connection, we see, wow, it's so simple. It's so incredibly simple. It's just that the mind wants to make it complicated. It wants to make our healing, it wants to make our approach to God and the spiritual path, it wants to make it complex. Whereas the approach to spirit and to sacred space, it's so simple. It's so organic. It's just connecting with nature. And it's
so
all
you,
around
so
us.
It's almost like an aroma, a sound aromatherapy for the body in a way. Just
oh,
gets
exactly.
directly
yeah,
inside.
Yeah. Yes, and yes, that's a great analogy. It's sort of like a homeopathic type of
wow,
approach,
like
I guess.
You know, one little drop creates the ripples. In other words,
yes, yeah,
I like that. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
It's fascinating.
Thank you.
Well, it's great. Yeah, I like what you're talking about with the subtleties, because that is the sticky point to everything, the subtleties of tuning into the energies that we do to do our work, the subtle healings, you know, of sound. People just listen to sound and they have so many thoughts and opinions about the sound itself that they're missing out
yes.
on what it's bringing, you know?
And yes, yes, yes.
It's kind of crazy, and everything is so subtle. We have people just talking in the chat room about some of the sounds, how it just makes them cringe, or some sounds, you know, they can, oh, okay, I start humming to this sound, and that's your body finding those vibrations, the frequencies, and they're talking about, you know, especially helping beginners to learn how to meditate, and I couldn't agree more.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a beautiful way. Yes.
Absolutely. If you've never meditated before, again, I get that all the time. People say, well, I can't meditate, right? My thoughts are too much, or I get that monkey mind. Everything just goes around and I can't seem to meditate. And that's why I say, you know, if you can push play, you know, on your recorder, you can meditate, because this
yes.
is listening your way into the mm-hmm. vortex, which is what your CD, Sacred Sound Journeys into the Vortex. Now, it says volume one. I'm hoping there's going to be volume two, three, 50, right?
I think so. Yes, yes, that's the intention.
That's great. Tell me, have you books? You've written books. The other work it is that you also do.
Oh yes, I wrote a book, and it's entitled "Flights of a Runaway Monk."
Love it.
And I wrote this. You know, it's about the process that I went through in getting to a place of feeling okay about leaving the ashram. Mm. It was about being able to release all the belief systems, all the assumptions, you know, the whole superstructure around, you know, my connection with the church, you know, with the ashram. It was a really traumatic time. And again, you know, most of the book was written using the Dhamma dominant, non-dominant handwriting, you know, journaling style. So
ooh, nice.
That's it in a nutshell.
I bet you could. I'm just guessing, but I bet one who is reading it can completely feel the book. You know, you like when you're reading certain passages, they're going to strike you in a different way because it's not just written. Like you said, if it's written with your non-dominant hand, that carries certain impressions with it.
Oh, so, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and a lot of it, in the beginning, I had that internal editor that wanted to make sense of what was coming through.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, and another thing, writing with my left hand, it was like very slow and very messy, and I was wanting to make it a little bit neater. And the whole process is, you know, just get out of my own way and just allow. And that carries through with everything else that I do now. It's, you know, with my music, with my art, you know, it's about just getting out of my way, you know, and not letting the editor, you know, think in terms of, you know, this has to sound, you know, beautiful, you know, or this isn't right, you know, I had to release that internal editor, you know, the editor that wanted to control and wanted to have it in a certain way.
And you're right, it happens that way in all of us. We have the editor, we have the narrator of our story, and then we have a comment on the narrator and the story and a comment about the comment, and it just continues, and it's almost like that cleaves the way. You know, we use it like a spoiler for everything that we do, and if we could just, like you said, just stop. And if somebody listens to this CD, and how long, in your opinion, does it take, let's say we just freshly listens to it, to do that entrainment? I'm glad that you used that word. But for entrainment, to start noticing differences, to start noticing entering into meditation easier, to start noticing that, wait, I'm not getting as aggravated as I normally do during the day, or I'm getting into that space easier. How long have you noticed that it takes for that?
Oh, gosh. You know, from the testimonies that, you know, we receive, some people find that, you know, one or two listenings, they're really deep. They find themselves really, really deep and, you know, connecting, you know, with that inner vibration. And for other people, it takes, you know, a little bit longer. But in general, you know, because it's an entrainment CD, it was made to help individuals go very quickly, you know, into that that deep, you know, shamanic state. You know, where we have access to that, you know, it's a vibration, you know, to that vibration that helps us, that helps guide us towards, you know, receiving the gifts that we were meant to receive.
Brilliant. What is Bruce doing now? What kind of things are you working on for the future, and just kind of things that you do during the day now to work?
Oh, wow. Something, you know, another thing that's been very significant in my life, and it's come up within the last few years now, is the connection that I have with the ecstatic dance community. And for me, you know, dance, you know, especially the free form, you know, ecstatic dance venues, it really has helped, you know, my art. It's helped my creativity. It's helped, you know, the energy in my body. It's a way for the energy in my body to express. It's just another way. And I find that it's been extremely helpful.
It doesn't. It also helps in self-development too, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think it does in all ways, because, you know, what we do in the on the dance floor, it's sort of like a microcosm of what happens in our relationships and, you know, in our business relationships, you know, with the world. So on the dance floor, we're able to, you know, work out a lot of those things, but in a very safe container.
Yeah, and there's just, I think that's so important for people to understand. There's not just one container. You know, I do what I do, and tuning into energies of this and from the other side, and depending on whatever your beliefs are and if you believe that's possible or not. But I needed something else to express myself, and that's why I'm doing acting, and which frees me up in a completely different way. Singing, you know, when I do professional singing stuff, like I say, I sing Sinatra and things like that, there's an retirement home up the street from me where I go and sing. And
wow.
that allows
wow.
me to express in a completely different way. You know, it has nothing to do with what I do on this show and for Psychic Access in general. And yet it has everything to do with what I do
yes.
on this show and Psychic Access in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think whatever helps allow our energies to move, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever our passion is, and allowing that energy to move, it helps us in every way, our health, our relationships, everything.
Yes. Brilliant. Now, we had talked earlier about maybe doing a demonstration of sound or whatever you think is best, if you chant it out or however it is that you want to do. Maybe you can explain it just a bit, what it is that you're going to do. But, you know, 30 seconds, you know, to 45 seconds, I think would be enough if that feels right also to you. But
yes.
let me just kind of turn it over to you for a second and let's experience what it is we've been talking about.
Okay. And on your side, are you able to turn down the volume? Because when I sing, it's, you know, the volume goes up. So just to let you know.
I will tell everybody now. That when okay. you listen to this, everybody should turn volume down just a little bit. And we also have our Doug, who who's behind the scenes, and I know he'll watch the volume control as well. So,
okay, and I'm going to be using a rose quartz bowl, and I'll be singing overtones, you know, harmonics of sounds and frequencies above it. So just to give you an idea, and I'll start.
Awesome.
About, what, 30 minutes, 30 seconds.
30 minutes would be great, Bruce.
Okay.
Amazing. Can I just tell you, I so appreciate being a vocal artist. You know, it takes a certain way to sing Sinatra, but what you do, my friend, takes an amazing skill. The first resonance that you started with hit me in a particular way, and then when you switched, obviously, to the lower chant, another way still, and an amazing effect for you to just trail off the way that you did. Which I also know can be very, very difficult to do, but the trailing off is what really capped it for me. And because, I know you can't just stop. You can't just – that tears a person out. And so the trailing off, that was amazing. That carried better than I thought it would over the air.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Gosh, that was just amazing. So your CD, I'm hoping, is filled with that.
It has yeah, different sounds, and it has the singing bowls, the crystal singing bowls, the Tibetan metal bowls, and bells, and, you know, and all the vocalizations. So, yes.
And it's called Sonic Ascension, Sacred Sound Journeys into the Vortex, Volume 1. Again, the CD and book have links on our guest page at psychicaccess.com that you can link to those, and they go directly to Amazon, and I couldn't even, I just like want to stop. It's very difficult, like coming out of a meditation and trying to all of a sudden come back on the radio and go, hey, okay. it's so comfortable to be ripped out. But Bruce, thank you so much for coming on the show. Your presence, your energy, the information, the wisdom of what you do, the wisdom in the simplicity of everything. It's so Zen. And I've been following Zen myself for close to 25 years, not devout, but at the same time, that's where my origins kind of began. And I just so really appreciate you being on the show. And thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bobby. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate the work that you're doing. So beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be in touch sometime after the show here just to kind of, again, shake your hand virtually, as it were. Or actually, just probably give you a big old hug if that's all right. Sure. All right, Bruce. Thanks so much again for coming on the show. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
That, oh my God. Brenda, Maureen, did you...
Yeah, it was interesting. It was kind of like an up and down thing for me. It was kind of like, it was uplifting, but it was also at the same time grounding. So it got that was pretty awesome.
Did you like that, Maureen? Did you tune in?
Well? And not only that, I really liked him.
He was just sweet. He was a sweet man.
He's sweet, but also really authentically living his life as he should in the work that he's doing, living an authentic life.
I really
appreciate that when running into people in this kind of work, the work we do and help, in our world and universe. And that was very, very nice. I always find that very soothing and just lovely, heartfelt. Yes.
Well, remember, everyone, you can contact him through his website at www.manakastudios.com. So, now, this is the point where I just tell you to stay tuned for the second half of the show. It's not going to be quiet yet. Give us about 20 minutes or so, and then you'll be able to call in, get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics, my gifted Maureen and Lady Brenda. We'll announce the call-in number later. Maureen is so great about also putting it in the chat room. So have your pen, paper, keyboard ready. Last week's show, which I also really enjoyed, was about angels and archangels. You can find a recorded archive link as well as all of our previous shows on psychicaccess.radio.com. Again, it's under the archives tab. Really easy to get. Very nice format. You can download those to your computer and take them with you. Listen at your leisure. And then circulate those. If you can, post them. If there's a particular show that you find really connects with you, put it on your Facebook, put it on your Twitter, something to share all of that. If you didn't like the show, keep your mouth shut. You know what I mean? Just like keep it to yourself. No, I'm kidding. And then
zip it.
It's zip it, right? Yeah. Seriously. If you don't like the show, change this channel, right? Or no. So, excuse me?
This is our Fair Love Talk Show. We're getting people ready for the readings.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
Yeah. We ignore it.
We just ignore it.
You ignore it. Keep going. No one hear it.
Those are healing tones, everyone. Those are also.
I like those tones. Mary had a little lamb on that, too.
Yeah. Yes. I remember that. Thank you. I'm unmuted. So,
as you declare.
Be sure also to visit. We have a blog site as well. What do you think it's called? Psychicbloggers.com. You can learn everything there about the paranormal, reincarnation, the how-tos of psychic development, personal development, all kinds of articles. So if you want to read some of our articles from the best professional psychics on the net, again, psychicbloggers.com, you'll find, even on psychicaccess.com, the best verified, accuracy-tested psychics. Everybody's got their own unique gifts. Every psychic, we have these detailed profiles that you can come and read, find out more about each particular psychic, and make sure that you really kind of connect before it is that you get a reading. You can choose from, again, a list of some of the best psychics around. It's an honor working for Psychic Access. Doug has such a high expectation required of all of us. And then the co-hosts here as well, Lady Brenda, Maureen, Steve, when he gives a damn, also works at Psychic Access Talk Radio.
Poor Steve. You ambushed him.
I did get damn straight. Did you hear him last week?
He was too much. He was on.
Me and I was here.
He was on. He was just on a go. He was on. He was on. Is this a flat? I'm
flat. Yes. He's been on a roll. Yeah,
I can't wait to listen to it. Yeah. Okay. Carry
on. Steve actually is across the pond. He is back for a visit. That's why he's not with us tonight. And he is missed because we do miss him. I love.
Yes,
Steve.
We do miss him, and we can give him a kiss later about that.
And we'll give him a little kiss later. But all of us here work at PsychicAccess.com, and. So if you want a personal reading from any one of us, you know, even tonight, you call in. And if you're just not quite finished with your reading, if you just want a little bit more, if something else that you wanted to ask because you may not get an opportunity during your reading, then come to PsychicAccess.com and talk to us. We'd love to hear from you. Other ways that you can make money. This is kind of interesting as well. Site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to Psychic Access. So if you want some more ideas on how you can pretty much gather a paycheck as well, you can go to psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And remember, again, if you like our show, just invite your friends to join us in the chat room. It's a great community that we started. There's several regulars that always showed up that I look forward to seeing. And there's something there for everybody. So again, please spread the word. We appreciate it. So let me give you the call-in number. It's 724-444-4851. We'll also post that in the chat room. You can call now if you want to, but we're not going to answer your call. So we're pretty much going to wait. We still have about another 15 minutes or so before we actually get to that portion of the show. So again, you can work with either one of us. You won't get to pick which one, but you'll get to call in, and we do a rotation kind of series, because otherwise everybody would just call up and ask for Maureen, you know, so this, or Steve, because he has the accent. Right? We can't have that.
Jeez.
I get all tuned in. You know, I'm ready to bring out delivering amazing information from the other side, and they're like, yeah.
Okay, Bobby,
Steve?
What am I, chop liver here?
Apparently. I'm a fan of the way you read, believe you me. Bobby, are you? I'll wait till you go on to or not next to the next. Carry on.
Thank you, Marie. So, what do you think about sound?
Wait, we forgot something. Did you get to the point where we wish that everybody just be? No, maybe we didn't. I'm sorry. I'll let that go. I'm sorry.
Specifics about their question.
Yeah, it wasn't until afterwards. Yeah, you know what? How rude of me! And you know what? I'm going to punish myself real good when I get off the air. So okay.
You need to be punished, Maureen. Punished.
I'll punish myself worse than anybody else could. Okay. So what up with you? Asking me a what up question.
So what up? Uh-huh. I was going to ask you about sacred sounds, and again, not only what you thought of the demonstration that he did, in how you experienced anything during that, but have you used sound therapy? Do you? You know what I mean.
In the way that you did your I'm doing it. The sound therapy.
Right.
No, you know, let me tell you, this is the thing. I love sound therapy, and I think it's one of the most, in fact, if anything, I mean, even in what we were talking about with him, it's a little different, but anything in sound, anything in, you know, I like to dance, I like music, I like sound, I like, I grew up in a home where there was musicians and bands playing every night, and my brother's band, they're fantastic, and they actually record some things later. But I grew up with certain sounds. It would be the drum, or it would be the, you know, classical guitar, or the, you know, whatever. The thing of it was, even going out of, when I lived in Alaska, I listened to spoons. You know the old timers that do spoons? Have you guys ever know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and with the jugs, they do sounds in the jugs, right?
Right.
Yeah, you know what? Okay.
Yes.
It's really cool. These people can do this stuff. Now it goes back into the sound, and I love the bowls, and I love the sounds, and I have done some work with some of my, you know, where they do, you do sounds and you participate in the sound with the person doing it. Who's, you know, it's a workshop thing up in. Right. I just went to that. But bowl, these call it something else, bowl vibration. This is back in the 70s, whatever. I feel sounds are so important. And, you know, really everything is a sound. And even the work I do, I get sounds that come in. And not people talking to me or guides, but but
sure.
I don't know if you guys ever do, but I get a sound. Also, I get the sound inside, so I don't know if you guys do, but inside my, like a transistor in my ear.
I get, you know, when I'm bringing through somebody from the other side, I can hear the intonations in their voice. I can hear what kind of a voice they have, you know, the sound of their voice, low, high, crackly, if it was sharp, if it, you know what I mean? Just exactly like you're talking. And then I would try to describe your voice to people. And that's exactly how I hear them as well. And then my voice, when I'm delivering messages, some messages that are incredibly sensitive, I notice that my range drops to a certain vocal level, and the information comes through really, you know what I mean, soft and different, I notice. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, you know, anything to do with anything with sound always, for me, this is my view, always had a, it affects me into the deep. Like, even if it's my dancing sound music or the Doors, and I'd sit back and there was would be something that, unlike anything else, it felt so healing.
Yeah.
It really does for me. So that's it. You know,
well,
really,
you know, I noticed with my babies when I would hold them, and if they were especially, they never were colicky, but you know how they can become fussy. I wouldn't, sometimes I would sing a regular song, but sometimes I would just find that tone, you know, and just either vibrate that or feel like if I need to go a little higher, maybe I need to go a little lower.
Right.
And it would just soothe them, you know. It always seemed to work, and just low, it's not right in their ear, you just kind of, you just hum it out.
No, it's true, it's a vibrational sound too. It's not just for me with my daughter, I'm, you know, I'm identifying with this, but yeah, I understand what you're saying. You know, it's not a song, but it's a sound. But all,
yeah, it's just sound, a sound. Yeah.
But sound and numbers are sounds. But you know, also because I have a hard time, I must have sound because I grew up in a way. Like I said, I was always around the sound of music. But I don't like quiet. I prefer not loud people yelling at each other, but I prefer sounds or a music sound, or if I can hear a sound, something that sounds like a beat where I don't know where it's coming from, but it sounds. You know what? In Paul McCartney did, I love this, Blackbird singing that. Okay, Blackbird. You know how he's doing the tapping? If no one really recognizes, you know, the original one, you know, not where they remaster or whatever thing. His foot's tapping,
right,
all throughout that song. Have you ever noticed that?
Uh huh.
A lot of people, yes, and the tapping, that is, to me, is something that really gets me connected with that. So I love that song, but the tapping naturally with his foot. The tapping, that's like
that's
a vibrational,
cool.
So there, that's what I have to say about it. Thank you very much.
And how about you, Brenda, with your experience in the form of sound healing?
Oh, you know, well, she mentioned tapping. There's actually a form of healing that's called tapping that people are doing these days. But I think it's not a sound thing more than a tactile thing, but
yeah, I think they're tapping in certain areas on your body. Is
that
right?
But I'm not real clear about it. But it was interesting when she said that. And as far as my experience with sound healing, I've had various types of sound healing, and one of the things that I feel that is in my personal life is uplifting is, I mean, I love, of course, music, but music and dance and moving to certain sounds, because I'm a dancer and I danced to a lot of, like, you know, real rhythmic drums and all that stuff. I mean, it really takes me out. If I'm having, like, a, you know, a day, it clears my head. It takes me outside of myself and all the issues or whatever has been going on that day. I mean, sound, it's a gift from the universe. It really is.
Yeah. I think you just can't help but move your body. My son is starting to, he's 3 years old, and he's just starting to get into
you
those.
You should just see kids.
Yeah, when they dance. I have some video
they're
I
so
saw the other day.
Music.
And
when
it.
They feel the music, they're healing their bodies. And I think that the dance, because it's thousands and thousands of years old, starting with drums and you know, it was all just drums on skins and then flutes and stuff. And when you move your body in these natural movements, I think that you're aligning all this stuff inside.
I agree. I agree with you, absolutely. That's why I love dance to me is just yes, absolutely. And Bobby, maybe you should try the dancing with the...
How do you know I don't?
But perhaps Brendan and I have enlightened you with maybe.
I don't know.
Do you dance, Bobby? Do you like to dance?
No, I mean,
on Friday nights, dance with a pole in downtown L.A. How do you know?
Oh, my
God. Okay, you know what? You and the pole, another show.
Let's go.
No, that's a whole other show. That's the late show. Welcome to
that's
the pole show.
That's probably midnight.
He probably teaches the women to do the pole dancing.
He moonlights at one of those male review places.
I dance, you know, when I'm singing. You can't help but. And so, but I don't. You know, like ballroom dance or salsa dance, but I know that that can also just moving your body, moving the chakras around, and combining that with the sound and the music is incredibly invigorating.
It's like he talked about bliss. You know, when you're in the groove, when you're moving your body to the music, and you're right with it, that's the bliss right there, man. Yeah,
yeah. It's when you time. You know, I see some of these. There's nothing like watching. And I'm sure performing in it, but what I'm saying is watching some of these dance routines that, you know, that people have put together, and everything's so timed, boom, 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 and they just snap too, and that is so fun. So I can only imagine performing that would have an amazing effect.
It's incredibly healing, and the music is the biggest part of it because you're taking it in.
Yeah, and we had mentioned earlier too. We were talking about the chakras and the healing, because I know there's tones that are associated with each particular chakra.
And there's a particular healing system around
that.
That's
what I was going to ask you. So tell me about the therapy and chakra healing and.
Well, it went back. It goes back to ancient Egypt, but you see, the ancient Egyptians they saw the chakras, or they felt the chakras were in the spine, in the hands, in the knees, and the feet. So they don't have the same chakra system as we do with the seven spinal chakras, but it's similar. And they would lie you on, you know, on down flat, and they have this implement, and it's always made of brass. It's called a Waw scepter. Mm-hmm. And it's like a huge tuning fork, and then they would, and now, and because people can't get these scepters unless they make them, what they use is actual tuning forks, and each one of the chakras has a tonal association, and then they take these tuning forks, you know, when the therapy's done these days, they'll be like on a massage table, and they will go to the spinal chakras, and they will, you know, hit the tuning fork and go to that tone to each one of the chakras to align them. It's a fascinating
thing.
Very cool. Yes.
Yeah, it helps too. Like, again, I don't use, sometimes I'll use different meditations. Just, you know, I'm going to go into a meditation. I'm like, what kind of meditation do I want to do today? Or what kind of tool would I like to use? And sometimes there's no tools at all. But oftentimes if I just need realignment, you know, after a week of doing readings and things like that, just listening to the chakra, I've got my own chakra alignment CD, and listening to that just automatically put you right there. It just snaps them too, doesn't it?
It really does. And you know, as a Reiki master, you know, when we first put a person down, we want to check their chakras and see which ones are, you know, active, inactive, blocked, or whatever. Sometimes you use like a pendulum, sometimes you don't. So, you know, it depends on how you were trained. And you find out which one is blocked, and they have to all be like in harmony with each other. You know that.
Absolutely.
So it's pretty, you know, and doing what we do, we blow out a lot of our chakras, especially our brow chakras.
Yeah.
Oh, the pineal gland. The pineal.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It was Steve's calls it. What is it called? The pineal? Or I don't know how he says it.
Well, it is the pineal. And
I know. I can't even think of how he says it, though. He says it something different. I know, it's like
gland.
Aluminium, right?
It's the gland that we all know is the gland of the glands.
It's been proven, though.
I agree.
Have larger ones than other people.
I agree.
It's been proven scientifically.
And I scientifically approve of that, because I do agree. I agree.
Fascinating that they've, you know, actually like dissected the skull of psychics versus other people and seen that the pineal gland is like enlarged.
Yes, and it's very true. It's I know where it is in my.
Did his demonstration affect you at all, Maureen? Like
what?
Did his demonstration affect you at all, or could you sense it or feel it when he was doing that?
Yeah, I felt it actually. kind of like go through my body in a very strong, not in a bad way, but a very strong, it was a very strong vibrational feeling. And it felt actually very good considering the way I've been feeling this week. As you guys know, I didn't get, personally speaking, you know, my feeling. Yeah. And it felt kind of like there was some good strength that came into it for me.
Yeah, good.
That makes sense, you know?
It does make sense. Yeah, well, if you're up to it, love to try to. Okay, and thank you to everybody for listening. Have a good night. Okay, let me rephrase. Whether you're up to it or not, we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for everybody to start calling in, and we're going to take some readings now. The number is 724-444-4851. Give us a call, and we're going to start taking readings now. Look, people, we have to please help us out, okay? When you call in, we only have an allotted time, and we want to help you as much as possible with that time given. So let's make the most of that time. Please try to be very direct with your question. Be pointed, succinct, all the other words that you could think of to go along with that. We want to help you very much. And so the more direct that you can be with your question would be very helpful. Please don't come on and say, what in general do you see for me from now until the end of the year, or you know, anything that you pick up on me or so. I don't do those anyway, and I can have 3 hours with you. So if you can be really pointed, discuss, you stand up to the podium, as it were. Let's work together and make the most of our time that we have, okay? So we're going to take calls now. Brenda, I think you're up first with a call from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Pennsylvania. How are you doing this evening?
Just fine. This is Joe.
I'm good. How can I help you? What can I do for you?
Well, I actually wanted to ask a question of the psychics, and you're one, and your friends are there, and I've been working on spirit communications for a long time, and I make a spirit radio, and it's based on a theory that I have that the communication is through random behavior. It doesn't have to be an energy or a field or a radio signal or anything. It's almost the relationship of vibration from one to another. And
Is this Joe?
Hmm?
Is this Joe?
Yes.
This is Miss Bangs, Lady Bangs to you.
Don't hold it against me.
I'm just kidding. So what's your question, Joe? You want to know what's going on with this?
Well,
or if it's leading to something?
If you all feel that there's an intelligence out there that you're tapping into. Now, the guest was talking about he had an inner sacred space, and it had an intelligence of its own, and that's the way I would imagine a feeling would be for wherever you go to get your information. And I was wondering...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
In your case, have you ever felt that you were in touch with like another intelligence rather than just a file cabinet full of information? Or
absolutely. We as psychics, I mean, everybody's going to like explain it a little bit different, but my explanation that I tell people is that we get in touch with the super consciousness that's around all of us. It's not only in this dimension, it's in another dimension as well.
But outside of itself, not necessarily internal, right?
Exactly. And it's all around us. It's available for everybody on this planet and in the universe to actually tap into. People such as myself and Maureen and Bobby, we have different ways of tapping into it. But that's where we get our information. That's how we know things about you that, how would we know it? See what I mean? It's because we're able to tap into this psychic energy. Yeah.
That part of it is the mystery. But, you know, I'm an engineer, and I'm looking for, like, a little nuts and bolts thing. And what I did...
I believe you could probably measure it. I'm just telling you. I mean, when I look in my crystal ball and I see something very clear there is a feeling. There's a feeling of a connection, almost like an electric that comes from the middle of my forehead between myself and the crystal ball. But the crystal ball, and you know crystals, being an engineer, have been used in ancient times as receivers. See what I mean? And when I'm connecting with that, I feel that that could be measured if there was anybody who put some kind of implement to measure it.
Yeah, I think it could be a focal point, and you're just you're using it to localize the information, you know, the portal.
Mm-hmm. It's
saying,
a portal.
That's where it is. It's on the table right in front of me, you know. But it's really connected with the universe.
Well, that's entirely possible, my dear. You're on the right track.
It works for my hardware, and there's no proof of it or anything, and there's a lot of psychic or paranormal stuff that don't have nuts and bolts explanation, but I just wanted
to. I don't think it needs an explanation. If it works and it generates energy, I mean, it's all energy. You know that.
Yeah, and if you had a common sense that there was an intelligence giving you this information, it wouldn't matter how you got to it. It would, you know, be interesting, I think. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a religion or God or whatever. It's just, you know, how you get your information.
That's how people explain it, too. Yes, definitely. Well, you're on to something, Joe. I hope that explains what we feel, sort of. I mean, other psychics may explain it in a different way, but I know that we tap into a force, and it's definitely a force. It's bigger than us. It's larger than us.
Well, I'm trying to collect confirmation of my theory, so that's you've confirmed that you feel that way, so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, honey. Have a good one.
I'll let you go without taxing you for a reading.
You can tax me for a reading. You have a question?
No, not right now, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
He sounds so much better, doesn't he? A little different than last time, because I remember talking to him before.
And he's such a nice man.
He is. He sounded much better this evening.
Such a nice man.
All right, Maureen, if you're up to it, or not, North Carolina.
Okay. Hello, North Carolina. North Carolina. This is Maureen. How are you?
Hey, Maureen. How are you? This is Sharon.
I'm sorry. This is Sharon? Sharon?
Yes.
Hi, Sharon. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm awesome. I'm so tickled to be able to talk to you guys, or ladies, sorry, and Bobby's
okay.
You mainly.
We're all guys, we're ladies, Bobby's ladies, and we're all guys.
We do that in the South a lot.
We fuse. I love your energy, Sharon. Sharon's energy is so fantastic, isn't it?
Good vibration.
And Sharon, what can I help you with this evening?
Well, I had called about a month ago, and I'd gotten fired from a job. It was just a funny, humorous comment meant to be a compliment, but I got fired for it. And so when I got fired, I applied for unemployment and really wasn't looking for a job the first 3 weeks because I wanted to look into something to do in my own business. So then all of a sudden, unemployment does an interview with me, and I get my job because there is no violation that I committed. And I started getting unemployment. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I didn't really look for jobs the first 3 weeks or 2.5 weeks, and then I started getting serious about applying, and then I got a letter 4 days later saying you got to come in on the 13th to put down the past few weeks of all your jobs, and so now I'm just kind of curious as to what's going to happen.
Oh, okay. I follow exactly what you're saying, and I'm going to do a disclaimer on this. I'm not telling anybody that I know more than anybody, but I do know this. In my state, and I only know this from many, many years ago, and I'm not saying that you should do this, and it's not being sneaky or anything, but I understand, and a lot of times they make it so hard, and I think you're deserving of unemployment, as you probably paid into it, or you're people you worked for. You're entitled to it. But they do want you to put certain things in. And let me tell you something. You can't usually get to a billion, trillion things. But my suggestion is to go about how you're supposed to do it in the system that they're asking. So I know that I'm not telling you to be dishonest or anything like that. But they're asking you to put down, I don't know how it works, three different. You're going to be fine. You know, you're wondering if you're going to be if you don't put down a certain amount, or if, I know you're a very honest person. I'm not saying I am too, and I do not, I take pride in, I try to be upfront and honest as possible. There's sometimes people that maybe are after me, like, no, but I may say, well, I'm not here, but I'm just saying, because if they have these certain rules of how they're going to do it in order for you to get your unemployment, I feel that you should just put down a few things that you thought you had a desire, maybe if you didn't actually go out, but just to do it, because I think you're deserving. I don't see you, I really don't feel that you're going to be on it that long, but for the time being, you deserve to get it. And if it means you staying a few extra places that you really physically hadn't gone to, but you were thinking about it, just put that on there. I mean, I'm just saying, if that's, are you concerned about not being able to get it if you didn't go to these jobs physically?
Is that what I'm hearing? For it. But then again, I saw something when I applied for my benefits that I actually did the past 2 weeks, been doing my 2 a week. This first thing that popped up, and I'd never seen it before, it was like the very next day after I got the letter. Remember, you have falsified if you have done this filings. If you want to report this beforehand and let us know, you can call us before it's too late or something. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to confess my life.
You know, I think you're a good person. And like I said, I'm not condoning people saying things that aren't true. But I think that if you write down – no, you know what? I don't see you being on if you're asking me, if what you're asking me is if this would get you in trouble or false, they have to say that. It's because there's a lot of bad people out there that have falsified it, and there are billions of different Social Security numbers and are collecting unemployment for people that don't even exist. Okay, so I think that doesn't apply to you. So they have these rules, but I don't feel that, you know, you could put down some things, maybe you haven't yet gone to, but put down some things, you know, list some things. I don't see you being on unemployment for long. Pardon me?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was going to ask.
No,
I'm sorry.
You're about to say something I wanted to hear. What was that? You're about to say something there. I thought I heard you almost coming out with something, Sharon. Did you?
I was going to ask about, kind of segue into, yes, I would love to do something, my own business. And
right.
I have ideas, but that's kind of a separate question. But,
And even though I can't answer one question, I already got through the other one. Don't worry about, do what you need to do. You're an honest person. And what they're asking from you, put down what you need to put down. I'm not saying everybody listen up. I'm not condoning. I'm doing disclaimer. I'm not saying everybody should go out and lie about things. But just put down what you need to just to get your unemployment for a little bit longer. And just put down your desire of places you want to go to. It doesn't, you know, just write down a few, like if you desire to go to some of these you're willing to. If you hadn't made it, that's okay. You know, that's my take on it. But I do see that you're really, I think you're in a really good place. You're heading for a good place as far as what you want to do in business on your own. I feel you've had all you can take with doing a lot for other people and them getting all the acknowledgement and you not. And you should have gotten the credit. And you're no longer going to participate in that. I think that's happened to you before. You're doing a lot. And you know, like I said, no one acknowledged you for your accomplishments in this. I think you're really trying to release from all the stuff that you've been through and all your other type of work situations. Now, there's something about family that may not be real supportive about what you want to do on your own. I don't know if that's the case, but I do see family might be having, they're not on board, maybe because they don't understand or they don't get it yet, but that's okay. And I do feel that you need to go back in some type of schooling or knowledge, maybe not conventional, but something that will give you some insight. You need a little bit more insight in which type of business or which type of, you know, something that you feel that you would really connect with. I think you need a little bit more knowledge. I do see somebody that would have, he believes in you, and there's some, like a father figure looking man who has, he's not your father maybe, but someone that have money, he would be able even to help back you, even if it meant going and finding out some information about the market, whatever, anybody else doing it, that could help you with the money part. I'm not saying be millions of dollars, or maybe if that's what you need, maybe you're good, but he's someone that's in a position to, and I feel you know of him. And it looks like you're going to be celebrating within the next 3 months, and I see you completely liberated within the 8 months prior to that. I see you being in your own business, and it's going to be fantastic. You just need to get more information about what it is so you have more insight to how to make it happen.
Oh, you are a blessing. Thank you so much,
Maureen. You're welcome.
I really
hope I
appreciate
helped.
Your honesty and insight.
Thank you so much, Erin. And you can always come by and see me at psychicaccess.com.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Erin.
All right,
you guys
have a great
night.
Week, and thanks so much, and love to you all.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, she was pleasant, wasn't she?
She's
very
lovely.
Nice.
I like that. She made me feel very good, too. Thank you, Sharon.
It's reciprocal, isn't it? People don't understand that. Sometimes they think it's just us giving information, but I find readings to be reciprocal.
I get a lot back from a lot of people, and I think, yeah, I do. It's nice.
So I am up now, and I think we have a caller from Wisconsin on the phone. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, who's this?
Hi. My name's Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. What can we do for you? What would you like to talk about?
I'd like to know, find out from the psychic where she sees me going, like in my relationship. In my relationship, where she sees me going.
Where who sees you going?
Huh?
Yeah, I thought you said somebody in particular, where she sees me going in my relationship. I didn't understand
exactly.
That.
Yep.
Okay,
exactly.
So who's she? What do you mean?
The psychic, where, not she, where she's, what kind, what she sees going on with it in my relationship.
So let me understand, your partner.
No.
You wanna, okay, so who's the she that you're talking about? Where?
The psychic. Or
well,
one,
I'm the psychic guy.
I know,
I'm sorry. that's what was throwing me off. I'm like,
I know,
so,
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I that's why I was trying to find out. I couldn't place it. So. So can I answer your question? Would that be all right?
Yep.
Okay. And now you want to know your relationship and where do I see it heading?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So it's still, I don't know how long you've been going out with this other person. It still mm-hmm. feels new to me. So if you've been going out for 10 years, that's a great news that it still feels really new. And if it is still kind of new, then that's okay too. But it still feels like it's kind of in the discovery process, although I am picking up something that took place or happened 2 weeks ago or so that kind of made the head tilt a little bit and go, you know what I mean? Not like a red flag or something that just kind of said, okay, that's interesting, and maybe that's what's kind of knocking you off course just a little bit. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm just trying to delve deeper into that. So I don't think it's necessarily, you know, it's almost like it was just a flag on the play, as a matter of speaking. So I wouldn't let that throw you, because sometimes things will happen in a relationship like that, and it throws everything else off kilter. Next thing you know, you start thinking about it, and then you start poking at other fears and bad experiences that you may have had in other relationships, and just so much can come up from something that was so, you know, simple. And I would try, if you can, to not let it. I would just let it go by and continue to enjoy the relationship in, you know, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I also feel the concerns that you might have from what took place. And I would be cautious, too. I feel like being a little reserved now. You know what I mean? And so try not to be that way, because that'll affect anything else that happens. But I do think that you're valid in what you're feeling. If you weren't, I would tell you, you know, I would be really honest with you and say, no, that just raised some fear in you or whatever. You know what I mean? Like if it were something that you shouldn't pay attention to altogether, I would tell you. But your feelings are valid and I get it. And the other person has a lot of growing still to do. You know, you're in a different kind of a spiritual place. I don't agree with the fact that there's levels, but I do think that there's an expanded knowingness. Somebody who's in 10th grade is going to know more than somebody who's in 3rd grade, you know what I mean, based on experience and such. And so I do feel the differences in that portion of the relationship. So it may take a little extra patience on your part as well, if you're willing. But so when you kind of ask me a question like that, this is just generally what I'm getting. Do you have another question about that, or are you understanding what it is that I'm talking about?
Well, I understand what you're talking about, but I guess my other question would be is, where do I go from here, or where it's at a standstill,
So I guess what I'm saying is that it is still in the discovery process. I don't want to just tell you, yes, this is the one relationship, because I'm not feeling that. And yet I also don't feel that you should let go of this relationship. Do you see what I mean? So, mm-hmm.
You see something possibly being there.
I do. Yes, exactly. If I felt this wasn't going to be any good for you, again, I would tell you, but I'm not getting that. I think that if you two were to stay together, I think that the other person could definitely, I think this could grow into the perfect relationship. You see what I mean? But it would take, we all have to have our patience level. You know, something takes place and we all either have to say, I don't mind that, I can move on, or yeah, that's not going to work for me, and then we leave. I don't always agree with leaving relationships. I think people change when you get in relationships. I think you grow to each other. You help each other expand into either setting yourself up for a better relationship with somebody else or growing into a great relationship with each other. I think this has that potential. And, you know, it's up to each individual person. If you lack, you know, if you don't have enough patience a couple months down the road and something happens and you're like, yeah, you know, I'm done, that's okay. Do you see what I mean? So that's why I'm reluctant to just say, oh, yeah, stay with this relationship. He's going to be, you know, this is the one. Because it's not yet. But you're not wasting your time with the relationship. This isn't a waste of time. Do you see what I mean? Which is what we're all concerned about. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be over here if I should be doing this over here, if I should be looking for a different relationship that will be the one. I don't think that this relationship is a waste of time for you. And I don't feel comfortable telling you to just leave, or, you know what I mean? It feels like you should stay with this for a while and see if you both can't grow into it together.
Okay.
Does that still not help, Michelle?
Huh?
I said, does that still not help?
It's giving me more to think about.
I'm sorry. Listen, I want to guide you in your own direction. I don't think any psychic should say, you know what I mean? Like leave him or whatever. But I mean, if it were the case, I would definitely tell you so. Follow your heart, which is what you're doing already. Stay with the relationship for now, and discover that potential. Okay.
Okay.
All right, sweetheart. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Yep.
Okay. All right. Bye bye. All right. Up next, it's Brenda from. We have a phone call from New Jersey for you.
Hi, New Jersey. What can I do for you this evening?
Hi. I'm actually in New York, but my cell phone has a New Jersey code on it. But I'm depressed. And
oh, no.
It's been on for a very long time, and I just want to know when it's going to end.
Okay. Do you know what's making you depressed?
Sort of and sort of not.
Okay. Let's take a look here. Let's take a look. Well, a lot of this stuff, I feel it's about letting go, because there are some things that you might go back to that start making you feel bad throughout the day, throughout the week. I feel that what's needed here when I look into this is just a fresh outlook on what you're going to be doing in your life and with your life, getting more in touch with some creative energy. I just feel that it's time for a renewal, and now that it's summertime, we're going into the summer, the sun is out, it's a perfect time for healing for you. You know, I'm getting the World card, which means that, you know what, you have so many things ahead of you, you know, and these are things that are yet to come. They're good things, but they do depend on you living in the moment, and because everything's a reflection. And so I know it's a hard thing to pull yourself out of something like this, but you need to try to, you know, put one foot ahead of the other, And just start to just do some positive affirmations. I do see you getting better. I see you coming out of this. You just need to get back on track because it feels like you've just gotten off your path. Yeah. And I also see love is in here too. Do you think about somebody from the past?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, it could be that new love is coming your way too. Because love, the love card is in here, so you know it could be kind of the icing on the cake. You know, once you start feeling better, you're going out, you're meeting people, then this will enter, and that, and it looks like it's something pure. It looks like it's something positive. Yeah, that's what I see.
So,
if your question to me is, "Will you start feeling better?" Yes, I feel you will.
Mm-hmm. When am I gonna start feeling better? Is it gonna happen in a week, a month?
You know, it's under your control, and I feel if you start doing the steps now to make yourself feel better, to start thinking positive, to start, you know, getting outside of some of these negative thoughts that have come your way, it could happen immediately. It could happen in the next couple of weeks. Yes. You've got the summer to look forward to and draw on the energy of the sun. That's what I see.
Okay.
All right, honey.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, it's me, huh, Bubby? Okay, sorry.
Well,
you're the anchor? So sorry, Bubby. Yeah, sure. I just tippy toed my feet.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, up next is Maureen with a phone call from Virginia.
Thank you, Bobby. Hi, Virginia. How are you? From Virginia.
From Virginia.
Hi, Maureen. It's Dee. How are you?
Hi, Dee. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Okay, hanging in there.
Good. I'm ready for you. What can I help you?
I am working on a mortgage loan modification.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'm just not getting a good vibe from it. Can you tell me how that's going to work out? Is it going to work out in my best interest?
Okay, got it. Thank you for being... Now, that, everybody's a nice, direct one question. I appreciate that. Everybody take note out there is listening. That was fantastic. Thank you, Dee, because it was. It was very... You know, it appears to me that you haven't been real happy with this for a bit, whatever's happening or whatever people are dealing with. But I do see there's a choice here that you have that you can make. You have an option to, you know, and like I said, I don't know, you know, how many people would be involved. If, you know, you said just a loan mortgage, what'd you say, modification?
Yeah, it's a mortgage modification, yeah.
Okay, so is it a, and do you work in a, you know, like people do escrow, so is your area in that, but you're not just by yourself, are you? You're with other?
No, this is by myself. It's my I own my home, so I'm doing a modification on it. So yeah.
I got it. Okay, I follow you. Excuse me. Okay, this is the thing I'm getting. I do feel that you're up against this. You have an option or a choice as far as to be more almost like somebody would say you're being unrealistic and foolish. But I feel, on the other hand, maybe taking this into maybe a more fearless level would be fantastic. And I see a lot of response. I see a lot of burden being lifted off your back very soon in the next. I don't know, next couple weeks, I see a big lift off your back. And also, I do feel that there's some things around you, things aren't what they appear to be. Something's going on, things aren't what they appear to be. I feel that, if this makes any sense to you, but I see it, you're going to be... I see you taking more of this back into yourself, more of the you know, your personal power back into how you want to go about how you're doing this, and I do see a sense of liberation that you're finally. It's like you're feeling free, and I absolutely see a lot of success around you. But I do see another woman for some other business project around you coming up that would be fantastic. If that makes any sense at all, but You know, Dee, I feel that you're on the right track, but on the other hand, I feel that there's a whole new feeling about this that can be really positive and also liberating for you. So if you're doing something a certain way or something, there is an option, like I said. And things aren't what they appear to be. Things have changed around this. And you're not, it's almost like you can't see it very clearly, but I think that you know in your inner, that little inner voice of ours, whatever you call it, intuition, that you know the best direction to take. But there's something about you going to another, just being more like taking a risk or being fearless about how you're going to go or do this differently. Again, I do see a lot of success around you, absolutely. And there's another woman around here, very positive, it's a woman that would be very good to do another project with. Might just be something I'm just getting besides this, but you're heading towards really positive things. So I guess what you're doing now, if it's working for you, great, but I do see that you've been unhappy, but I see if there's an option or choice, like I said, you there is to take, so but you need to be fearless.
So are you saying that the modification is going to work out in my benefits? Because I've been very fearless as far as with that. I've called them and I've emailed and I call at least twice a week to find out, you know, what's the status and what's going on.
Okay, so if you have been fearless doing that already, yes. You know why? Because I do see you, I feel you, I see you coming out of totally liberating. Yes, I do feel that it's going to be very positive because I see you no longer self-imprisoned. You're out of that. The sense of liberation, you're finally going to feel really good. And what happens is I see you heading into another direction, that another opportunity that may be different than this with another, I see.
Probably what you're picking up on, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Whatever it is fantastic. But yes, if you're doing this, if you're being fearless and this is a bit, and I see you taking a lot of burden off your back because of the way you're doing it now. So you've changed it up yourself. So whatever I'm telling you, I'm affirming it, really. Because if you have taken
the validation, probably will give me more for validation, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I do. I like that, too. And your reading helped me a lot, too. There are a lot of people, already two of you tonight. So, well, I hope that helped you, Dee, just affirm this. And I say you keep going. You're heading towards some really great other opportunities, too. Really great.
Great. Okay, Maureen. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Awesome. Thank you, Maureen.
Sure.
Next caller is up from Pennsylvania. Hello?
Hello, Bobby.
Hi, who's this?
Penny.
Boy, it's just
I can't believe it. You know, I can't ever, I never hear from you anymore, nothing, and now 2 weeks in a row. How lucky are you?
I'm so lucky. So what's going on? What can I help you with this week?
When is that guy from my past going to come back into my life, and who is it?
What? So what? So somebody, did somebody tell you you got somebody coming from your past, and you want to know who it is?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Why are you focused on the past? What do you want? Just let's get to the real vibration. You want a relationship. You want somebody to be with, spend time with, and somebody who thinks you're amazing like I do, right? So let's not talk about the past. Let's talk, unless that comes up. I mean, I could be talking here and it'll come up and I'll see it. But do you think that you are in a position to have a relationship? Hello? She contemplates. If you have to think about it. See, I already know the answer, but you know how I work, right? You know it's more guidance and such, don't you? So let me help you out. No.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
But what can you do?
I think if things got off on the right foot, yes, I would be ready with the right person.
Yes. And it's not that you aren't a good person to be in a relationship. It's not that you don't have a lot to give in a relationship. And what I mean by in a good position to be in a relationship means, what are you beating the drum more of? Your loneliness and how you wish somebody would come, and it's supposed to be somebody from my past, so you're focused on who could it be, this, and you start going through your mind and focusing on different people, yada, yada, yada. Or are you focused up front and the future and preparing and knowing that this person is coming to you because there is somebody who vibrates exactly the way that you do and that they'll be coming into your life just at the perfect time, right when you least expect it, right when you decide to let go and stop worrying so much about the having, not a relationship. Okay. Do you see what I mean?
No, well, that's actually what I am doing, is looking forward to be ready for that.
Don't look forward to be ready. Just be ready. You are ready. It's a simple shift. That's all. That's why I'm taking you in this direction, because you don't have to go far for this. In other words, there are some people that I do talk about that or talk with that, you know, are still so hurt from a past relationship, and they're just simply not ready until we let go of that and work on it and heal it, yada, yada. You are ready, but it's just that little thinking, just that little perception of like you said, I'm looking forward to being ready. I want that date. When am I going to be ready? And then it just keeps like a carrot on a stick. It keeps putting it out there, doesn't it? So you are ready for a relationship. That's what I want you to see. The only thing that is slowing you up is you're driving forward in the car but looking in your rearview mirror. You see what I mean? It may very well be somebody from your past. I don't know if another psychic told you that or not. If I look into that, I think both are possibilities. I think somebody from your past could come up. I don't know who this is, but, you know, obviously some kind of a past. I don't even feel like it was a past relationship. I feel it was more like a past friendship type or acquaintance. Like, oh my God, I remember you. We worked blah, blah, blah. Or you were the guy that used to come in and yada. You know what I mean? Like an acquaintance type.
Right.
But I also feel the possibility of somebody new because you're somebody new. Do you see what I mean? Like you're not the same that you were 5 or 6 years ago. You're different now. And I would love to see you create something and somebody in your life for who you are now, not who remembers you from back when.
Okay.
Do you see what I mean? Because sometimes people, when we, especially families, are good at doing this. It's tough to be the change that you are in front of families, because families always remember who you were. They always treat you like you were, not who you are. And so that's what I would want somebody new to come into your life and discover this wonderful you that you've become, because I think you're so ready for a relationship. So just be it and let go of the not having and make space for this new person coming into your life. What kinds of things would you do if you had a relationship? You know what I mean? Think about that. Wouldn't it be nice?
I love to do everything.
There. But get specific. General is not good enough here. If you were stuck on it, I would tell you to go to be a little bit more general. Let's start getting specific. You know, what would I do if I had a relationship? I love going to the movies. I would come see this movie with somebody. Here I'm with my friend, but I would love to be with somebody who I could hold hands with. It would be really great to hold hands with somebody during this part of it. Oh, and we'd have dinner over there. I love that restaurant. Can't wait to go there with my new relationship. Do you see what I mean? Pointing it out like that.
And actually, I see a lot of activity like four-wheelers and jet skiing and parasailing and a whole bunch of activity things that I haven't done in for so long. You know, I go with my girlfriends, but it's not always the same.
But it's always the little pang of not having it. You see what I mean? Like you see all that, but I can feel inside of you the vibration. It's a little pang of not having it. It'd be nice someday type of feeling rather than, ooh, I can see us totally doing this, me and my partner. I could totally see us, blah, blah, blah. You see what I mean? Like the excitement, the anticipation of it, not the, oh, it'd be nice if, but, you know, I guess someday. You know? Right? You know what I mean, right? So, anyway, but I got it. So I have to cut short. And I'm sorry I can't go into it more. But if you'd like to have more, join me on psychicaccess.com, Penny.
And
I'd love to talk to you again.
All righty, Bobby. Thank you.
All right, Betty. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. I tried to sound as professional as possible.
No, sad, sexy voice.
So thank you so much for everyone listening to the show. I just so really enjoyed our guest. And I heard from Bruce as well. He sent me an email and talked about how he loved doing the show. So... next week, however, we have a wonderful show. Is that you, Brenda?
You know, it's Maureen. If you can't get that from
is that you, Brenda, that has the show next week? Or
wait, maybe it is.
No, it's Maureen.
Yeah. Can I please say, you guys, I'm all confused. Yes, it is me. And it's one that we all will enjoy because the sanking. I call them crazy makers, but it's psychic vampirism. Psychic vampires, they're all around us, you guys, and I know we all can relate to this. And they're the narcissists. They're those kind of people. But you know what? We're gonna talk about how we can, you know, manage them. We can't ignore these people. They're here, but how we can, some with compassion, but how we really need to have our boundaries straight. So it's going to be a very good show for all of us. And we don't need that kind of energy sucked out of us. And I know I'm one up for one. That happens to me a lot. Yeah. And so I guess we all could relate to that, the work we do sometimes too. And I'm not talking about psychic junkies, but psychic vampires with Lisa Tarveres, I think, yeah, Tarveres. And so it'll be a fantastic show, so I hope I'll come.
That's it. Join us next week on Thursday again for that particular show. And we also want to thank Doug, our executive producer. Thanks for keeping us on track tonight and making everything run smooth. Really appreciate it. So on behalf of my co-host, Lady Brenda.
Goodbye.
And Maureen.
Good night.
And myself. Take care. Have a great, great week. And we'll see you here next time on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.